by the side of the road. And as they were grazing, there was a large tanker truck that drove by that had red letters on the side, milk, pasteurized, homogenized, vitamin A added. And so seeing that sign, one of the cows turned to the other cow and said, "It makes you feel kind of inadequate, doesn't it?" Well, you know, this morning we probably all feel kind of inadequate. We feel inadequate to be able to change our lives. We feel inadequate to be able to please God. We feel inadequate to be able to solve and resolve the great issues of life. We just all, like those cows, kind of feel inadequate. We know Reformation Sunday is for all who feel inadequate, because the truth of the matter is that we all are inadequate. And so that's why grace is so amazing, Jesus is so awesome, and in our lives and in our world today, the message of Reformation Sunday is so necessary. Reformation Sunday. And so this morning, the sermon is for all who feel inadequate. It's a sermon about grace. Grace has been defined as God's unmerited favor and enabling power. Another definition for grace is G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. A verse for Reformation Sunday is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not because of works, so that none of us are able to boast. And this morning there are three things that I would like to be able to say about grace. Good news for all of us who feel inadequate. The first thing is that grace is something that you cannot possibly earn. One time, the great prize fighter Muhammad Ali was asked what his faith meant to him. And he said, "Well, for me, my faith is my ticket to heaven. I know that someday all of us are going to die. I know that someday I too will die." And since saying this, he has died. He said, "Someday I know that I will die, and I believe that I will stand before God, and God will judge me. And I believe that if my list of bad deeds is longer than my list of good deeds, I'll go to hell. And if my list of good deeds is longer than my list of bad deeds, then I'll go to heaven." Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people believe. But then Muhammad Ali also went on to say, "Well, you know, I go to a lot of parties. And at those parties, I meet a lot of pretty girls. And so what I do is I always carry with me to a party a box of matches. And if I see a pretty girl that I know is there with someone else or married to someone else that I want to flirt with, and I know that that would be a sin and that would be wrong, I light one of the matches and I put that match against my finger. And I say, 'Ooh, that hurts.' And then I think, well, if that hurts, hell is going to hurt even more." And so he said, you know, everybody needs to carry with them a box of matches. And whenever you're tempted to sin, light one of the matches and press your finger against the flame and see how long you're able to keep your finger in the fire like that. And to realize that as bad as that is, hell is only hotter and hell is forever. Well, Muhammad Ali is certainly right about one thing, is that hell is only hotter and hell is forever. But he's wrong about the fact that we are not saved by our good works. Or we're not saved because our list of good deeds is greater than our list of bad deeds. Rather, we are saved only by God's grace, which we can receive through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And then the second thing I'd want to say about grace is that grace is something that cost the blood of Jesus. Grace comes to us only at a very high price, the price of the blood of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We are justified. Justified means that if we have faith in Jesus, we are declared not guilty. We are justified. If we have faith in Jesus, God accepts us just as if we had never sinned. If we have faith in Jesus, Christ's righteousness is credited to our account. We are justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means to buy back. Jesus paid the price to buy us back from the power of sin. Now, one time there were two friends by the name of Paul and William that wanted to make some positive changes in their life. And so they said, let's get together every week and talk about how we are doing in living the Christian life as we want to be able to do. And so they agreed that they would do so. And Paul said, what I want to be able to do is to break my bad habit of using profanity. And Paul said, William, I ask for your help that every Sunday morning let's meet before church and that I will keep track of how many times I use profanity during the week, and I will put into the church offering an extra $5 for every time that I swore the previous week. Well, the following Sunday they met, and Paul admitted he really had not done very well that week, and so he was going to have to put into the offering an extra $100. The following Sunday he did not have to put in as much, and slowly the amount that he had to put in every week did get a little bit lower and lower, but still, he did not make the life change as well and as effectively as he wanted to. And so after several weeks, his friend William said, well, Paul, I think we need to change the terms of the agreement. I'm not going to tell you what it is until next Sunday, but let me tell you this. In one way, it's going to cost you less, but in another way, it's going to cost you more. And so the following Sunday, they met before church, and Paul admitted that he had failed in swearing again that previous week. And William says, well, you know, now I'm going to tell you what my new plan is. Again, a plan that in one way is going to cost you less, but in another way is going to cost you more. And so William took out his own checkbook, and he wrote a check to the church, and he signed the check, and he said, Paul, here's a check from me to the church. Now you fill in the amount that you need to pay for the amount of times that you failed in living as you had wanted to do this past week. And so that first week, William's gift of grace cost him $55. The next Sunday, it cost him only $20. And then after that, it did not cost him anything, because Paul had finally found the motivating power and ability that kept him from using the profanity that he did not want to use. You see, he did not want someone else to have to pay the price for his sin. You see, sin still costs, but for us it comes free. Grace is something that comes free for the one who receives it, but grace is something that costs everything for the one who gives it. Grace is something we cannot possibly earn. Grace is something that costs the blood of Jesus. And then the third thing I want to say about grace is this. Grace is something that you must receive as a gift. But then someone might say, but hold on, Pastor, I thought you told me that I did not need to do anything. Why are you telling me now that I have to receive it as a gift? Well, think of it this way. If you saw an ad in the paper that said, brand new luxury cars for free, would you complain because you had to go down to the dealer and pick one out and then drive it home? Would you feel that you were being asked to do too much in accepting the gift? Now, for the first 13 years after Terry and I were married, we rented out the house that I had lived in before we were married. And after several years with a good tenant, we were told by our tenant that they were not going to be able to continue as our tenant, and so that we would need to find a new tenant. Well, I made the mistake of contacting the classified section of the newspaper before consulting Terry. That was my first mistake, not to consult Terry. And so I contacted the classified section, and I listed in the paper the rental for what turned out to be a considerably below fair market value price. And then my second mistake was that I figured I would not be getting a whole lot of responses, And so I listed this church office telephone number as the response number. That was my second mistake. And then my third mistake was that I forgot to tell the church office coordinator about what I had done. And so a few days later, the office coordinator said to me, I have gotten about 150 phone calls for people that are asking about a rental, and I have no idea why they're calling the church for that reason. And I don't remember if I ever told her why. But imagine seeing an ad in the classified section for rent. 3-bedroom home at considerably below fair market value. Would you feel put upon if you were going to have to call a number in order to inquire about it, in order to be able to take advantage of it? Another thing I remember is a couple blocks south of the church where I served, there was a senior citizen center. And every once in a while at the West Covina Senior Citizen Center, they would distribute free cheese. And every time they distributed free cheese, the streets would be filled with parked cars block after block, and people would be lined up for blocks just for free cheese. I'm sure they didn't complain about having to drive down and park their cars and stand in line for the gift of free cheese, but the whole thing is that a gift is not yours unless you accept it. Christian author Philip Yancey says, forgiveness needs to be accepted as well as offered if it is going to be received. Back in 1830, there was a man by the name of George Wilson who committed murder while robbing from the U.S. Post Office. And he was tried and convicted and was going to be hung. And through the proceedings, the President of the United States at the time, Andrew Johnson, was going to offer him a pardon. But George Wilson refused the pardon. And it's interesting that they did not know what to do about that. And so the case actually went to the Supreme Court, and the Chief Justice Marshall said that a pardon is just a piece of paper. And if a pardon is not accepted, then it is not a pardon. And so George Wilson must be hung. You see, forgiveness needs to be accepted as well as offered if it is going to be received. Forgiveness is something you cannot, grace is something you cannot possibly earn. Grace is something that costs the blood of Jesus, and grace is something that we must accept as a gift. But what does it mean to accept grace as a gift? Well, let me give you four words. First, confess. Confess your utter helplessness to be able to solve the issues in your life. Kind of like with a 12-step program, it is so good, the wording of the first step, my life is out of control and I need help from outside of myself. I cannot solve my greatest problems. Confess. Two, repent. Repent literally means to change your mind. Change your mind about how you have been living and show by a new way of living that you have changed your mind. Three, believe. Believe that Jesus is your Savior who died on the cross for your sins, paid the full price, and rose from the dead and offers you the free gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and fellowship with Him. And then fourth, receive. Confess, repent, believe, and receive. Receive the gift of God's grace. The Reformation message is, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not because of works, so that we can give thanks and we have much for which to give thanks, but we can never boast. Amen. Let's stand for the song of the day.